to yourself or maybe you said to somebody else that the novelty has kind of worn off. Have you ever thought that about anything? Maybe it was something new in your life. Ah, the novelty's kind of worn off. Do you know that expression? It turns out that our brains are wired in a way to return to kind of a normal baseline. So when something new and wonderful happens or we see something wonderful, it might fill us with wonder, but over time, our brains kind of get used to it. And we're not quite so filled with wonder anymore. Something that once felt extraordinary shifts into the ordinary category in our perception. We get used to it, and we stop seeing it vividly in our memories and imaginations. And there are good reasons for that to happen with our brain. We can't handle too much wonder all at once all the time. But the downside, of course, is that we stop feeling the wonder sometimes. Most of what we experience repeatedly becomes normal, commonplace, within our comfort zone. So we stop noticing the wonder that the sun comes up every day. Or marvel at the wonderful animals that we love who live with us in our homes. And all the other stuff that you might have thought of. We start to think that there's really nothing new under the sun. We begin to see our world through eyes of scarcity, of not enough, rather than abundance. Our first glance stance gets dulled or even cynical sometimes. But what would it be like if we could live as Rabbi Heschel described, to take nothing for granted, to see with new eyes of wonder? It takes effort. It requires waking up our brain on purpose and suspending our business as usual processing. It takes practice to regain wonder at all the wondrous things around us. And the rewards are amazing if we can do that. If we come at life with wonder rather than cynicism as a first response, it's possible we might notice amazing abundance, amazing grace, amazing transformation all around us. I can't think of any time in history we needed that more. With words of war, with pictures and news of things happening in our world that just fill us with dread and sadness. We need this practice. Practicing it strengthens the synapses that tether our lives to the everyday sacred. We might even get in touch with the wonder of our own being. In the psalm that Bob read for us, Psalm 139, the ancient poet, possibly King David, invites us to regain our wonder. And you might remember the older translation of that key verse. I give thanks that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The Hebrew word used for fearfully in that passage is better translated, really, as awesomely made. We are awesomely made. so amazing that it might scare us, but so wonderful, so full of awe. Awe includes both amazement and fear at the enormity, the vastness of what we are experiencing. Stop and actually think about your bodies, our bodies. Talk about amazing. Some of you have had the experience of having children. Utterly awesome. And fearsome sometimes, as Brenda shared. Every little thing that makes us human, every heartbeat, every breath, is nothing short of miraculous. You are a wonder. It is a wonder that any of us exist at all. So take a moment now to take it in. I am a wonder. I exist. Wow. And then consider the vast wonders of the world. Our planet, our solar system, marvelous. Then beyond the whole universe, which we're barely beginning to understand. I want to share with you a picture that some of you might remember seeing, many years ago, 1990. So 35 years ago. That's the photo. And the main subject of the photo is so small you can't hardly see it. It's up in the top left corner, and in a moment as we start the video, you'll see a circle and an arrow that'll show you what we're looking at. It is the pale blue dot of Earth, taken from 6 billion kilometers away by Voyager 1, the spacecraft that was sent out into the universe. And it turned its camera back towards Earth and took this picture from 6 billion kilometers away. And Carl Sagan, the famous scientist and educator, reflects in this short video on this photo and what it caused him to think about.
God, put a...
Can you start that one? Maybe not. Sometimes technology is a wonder.
That's us.
There we go.
That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there, on a mote of dust, suspended in a sunbeam. The Earth is a very small stage, in a vast cosmic arena. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The Earth is the only world known so far to harbor life. There is nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species could migrate. Visit? Yes. Settle? Not yet. Like it or not, for the moment, the Earth is where we make our stand. It has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known.
So you'll notice the animation that started with that old picture and then zoomed in slowly. Our planet was caught in that beam of light because that picture was taken near a sun, and so it was reflected there. Maya Angelou, the amazing African-American poet who for a number of years was a professor at Wake Forest University, when she heard Carl Sagan's words about that picture, she was inspired, and the timing was good. She was asked to write a poem for the 50th anniversary of the United Nations. And so she starts with that same idea of the pale blue dot. She doesn't mention it specifically, but you'll hear it reflected. I want to share this video. I have cut it down as much as I can for time, but this is her many years later sharing the poem again at the graduation event at her former university, Wake Forest University. And what she has to say is so much better than what I could say. I wanted to share it with you. Let's listen to Maya. She starts by singing.
The rainbow in the clouds. Imagine that. Imagine Wake Forest actually being a rainbow in the clouds. That's shred from a 19th century folk song, spiritual gospel, was of course inspired by a statement in Genesis. We are told in Genesis that rain persisted so unrelentingly that people thought it would never cease. And in an attempt to put the people at ease, God put a rainbow in the sky. That's in Genesis. However, in the 19th century, some African-American lyricist, a poet, probably a woman, I'm not sure about that, said, no, God didn't just put the rainbow in the sky. We know that suns and moons and stars and all sorts of illuminations are always in the firmament. However, rain can so persist, and clouds can so persist, can so loom, that the viewer cannot see any possibility of hope. Can you imagine 50 years ago? Can you imagine 100 years ago? My great-grandparents would never have imagined that I would be a speaker at Wake Forest. Then, in fact, I would be the Reynolds Professor at Wake Forest. That I would have, that I would teach in so many disciplines. I had been a mute from the time I was 7 until I was 13. I didn't speak except to my brother. And my grandmother used to braid my hair the way old black ladies still braid girls' hair. I'd sit on the floor on a pillow. She'd sit down. And then she'd bend her hand like that and put it behind my neck, because my hair was very big and very curly. And she'd put her hand like that. She'd say, "So, sister, Mama don't care. These people say you must be an idiot, you must be a moron because you can't talk. Sister, Mama don't care. Mama know when you and the good Lord get ready, you're going to be a teacher. Sister, you're going to teach all over this world." I used to sit there and think, this poor ignorant woman. She know I would never speak. She was one of my rainbows. Each of us has a rainbow in the clouds. And the fantastic, most wonderful piece of news is each of us has the possibility of being a rainbow in somebody's cloud. Isn't that amazing? Somebody you don't even know, whose complexion might not jive with yours, who may eat different foods or the same foods prepared differently. You have the possibility and the probability of being a rainbow in somebody's cloud. After I had written the inaugural poem for President Clinton, United Nations people called and asked me, wrote to me, and asked me if I would write a poem for the 50th anniversary of United Nations. It was amazing. I trembled to hear that. Can you imagine how it felt to me when the people asked me, would I come? Would I write a poem and deliver it to the heads of state of the world? Can you imagine? I couldn't have done it had I not had rainbows in my clouds. Absolutely impossible. So if you look beside you, you might see a rainbow. You may have no idea. In fact, when you look in the mirror, you'll see a rainbow. This is a poem, the poem I wrote for United Nations. We, this people on a small and lonely planet, traveling through casual space, past aloof stars, across the way of indifferent suns, to a destination where all signs tell us it is possible and imperative that we learn a brave and startling truth. And when we come to it, to the day of peacemaking, when we release our fingers from fists of hostility and allow the pure air to cool our palms, when children's dreams are not kicked awake by nightmares of abuse, then we will confess that not the pyramids with their stones set in mysterious perfection, nor the gardens of Babylon hanging as eternal beauty in our collective memory, not the Grand Canyon kindled into delicious color by western sunsets, nor the Danube flowing its blue soul into Europe, not the sacred peak of Mount Fuji stretching to the rising sun, neither Father Amazon nor Mother Mississippi, who without favor nurture all creatures in their depth and on their shores. Those are not the only wonders of the world. When we come to it, we, this people, on this minuscule and kithless globe, who reach daily for the balm, the blade, the dagger, yet who petition in the dark for tokens of peace. We, this people, on this mote of matter, in whose mouths abide cankerous words which challenge our very existence, yet out of those same mouths can come songs of such exquisite sweetness that the heart falters in its labor and the back is quieted into awe. When we come to it, we, this people, on this wayward floating body, created on this earth, of this earth, have the power to fashion for this earth a climate where every man and every woman can live freely without sanctimonious piety, without crippling fear. When we come to it, we must confess that we are the possible. We are the miraculous. We are the true wonder of this world. That is when and only when we come to it. When it looked like the sun will not shine anymore, when one of us, or two of us, or all of us can say, I am willing to be a rainbow in somebody's cloud. Thank you.
The startling truth is that we are wonders. God made us to be wonders. And we have such power to be that rainbow, to lift people up, to help people remember that they belong. Friends, admit your wonder. Know it. Wonder at it. Allow yourself to be filled with awe at the wonder of who you are and at the wonder of who sits beside you in this space, who walks beside you on the street or sits on the bus or jostles in line at the grocery store. We are wonders. Amen. Let's sing together a song of wonder, God of the sparrow, God of the whale.